Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Very interesting topic, and I can tell you,
got to see just some personal experience and things that everybody's getting married.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
kind of the season. A lot of young folks are getting married. Yeah, speaking of which, on Sunday I have a ceremony to do on Sunday.
I have one to do at home.
Yeah, I got, and I have another one to attend in August. So, you know, and I've been to a couple already. So this is kind of the season where everybody, you know, wants to get married. But
mm-hmm.
like you know, there's more to being married than just the ceremony and everybody
mm.
coming up and, you know, enjoying the you know, the festivities and the after party and the honeymoon.
Yeah.
You know, once all of that has subsided, you know, then the actual work comes into play. So we're definitely going to be talking about that. And just let you know that we do have a couple of things coming up real soon. You know, we're going to have the free giveaway, which will be coming up on July 21st. So you all stay up on that. That will be coming up real soon. It'll be two weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah,
we'll be here before you know it, and we'll be back at the Heart of God Baptist Church. And I think we'll have a couple of other things going on as well. And like I said, we got Vacation Bible School coming up, Youth Revival is coming up. So we're definitely going to keep the community posted as to some of the various activities and outreaches that will be going on. Pastor C.
Yeah, we just want to get a shout out to all the first responders that have been out in the East Coast doing a tremendous job getting all the electricity back on, getting the air conditioning back on. Some folks are still without power. Some folks still don't have electricity. But overall, I believe that responders, people with utilities, people that were cutting down trees and getting power lines back up, you know, they deserve a big hats off. I know in the entire East region of the United States, we're experiencing 100 degrees, 105 degrees. I think tomorrow we're supposed to get like 105 degrees. We're breaking records left and right. People just trying to stay cool and trying to keep a good attitude and just continue to be a good neighbor. I know everyone enjoyed their 4th of July. I know it was a quick day. A lot of us had to go to work the next day, Red Beat, but it was a good 4th of July. And, you know, a lot of people have given us feedback and checked out the archives on that show we had on Sunday about independence and how a country is free and what it took to be free, and also whether we thought that we had a little too much freedom because of the way we act. So, you know, that was sort of like a segue to us for talking about marriage and divorce, talking about what people really think about when they get ready to get married, and what people really think about when they get ready to get divorced. And, you know, the Old Testament and the Bible is made a little more difficult for you to get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little more challenging for you to get married also, because a lot of times you were hooked up or set up with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you set up with somebody, there was money involved.
Right.
And so folks had to pay, you know, certain amounts of money to get you or get her, and, you know, it was more arranged. But I think now we have the freedom to pick and choose who we want to pick and choose. You know, we just want to piggyback off of that, you know, topic that we had on Sunday about independence and freedom, is that I think sometimes we choose to pick folks a little too freely. And we don't think about it. And I think a lot of times as young people, or not even young people, but sometimes as older people, what we have a tendency to do is to think about the wedding more than the marriage. And, you know, whenever I do premarital counseling, I tell people I'm really not interested in the wedding. I'm interested in the premarital counseling, because
correct.
The wedding is just one day, Rafi.
That's it. It's just one day. And like you say, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of homework that goes into really finding out who this person is that you want to spend the rest of your life with.
Did you say the rest of your life?
The rest of your life.
Not just until you get tired of it.
Not just until you
I just want you to clarify that. I just want you to clarify that. So marriage is supposed to be for what?
A lifetime commitment, buddy.
Did you leave that out?
Not a rental. What? It's not a lease.
The ratio is that you have more people getting divorced
than you do get married.
The people that stay married.
Yeah. And one out of every two marriages at this point in time ended divorce. So it's 50%.
So out of
every two couples, one of them's gonna get divorced.
Right. So my question is where does the
for life, man.
So what are people thinking when they get married? What are people thinking when they get divorced?
Well, and that's the thing, Pastor T, that you really have to, you know, really look at what are people's motives for getting married. Most people nowadays, and I'm flat out say this, most people nowadays do not get married for love. Most people couldn't even tell you what love is. You know, so they're not getting married for love. They probably getting married because it's convenient,
benefit,
financial stability, you know, all of these things. You know, they just want to have a little more added to their pot so they can have a little more freedom and luxury. But are they in love? Most people are not in love when they get married nowadays. You know, and it's hard, you know, and this has always been my principle is that until you're able to come to grips and learn how to love yourself, it's impossible to be with anybody else. And most people are still coming to grips as to how to love themselves and how to respect themselves and know who they are, let alone trying to deal with somebody else for the rest of your life.
You say that again.
It's not going to work.
You keep hitting that thing. What does this mean? That means that the rest of your life, from the moment you met and you got together, from that moment to the moment you close your eyes,
that's it, Doc.
You get all the stuff that comes along with aging, slowing down, getting tired, grumpy, arguing.
and all of that comes.
So what you're telling me is that when I get married, I should be prepared.
You got to be prepared this is what I say. You got to learn how to expect the unexpected. That's what a marriage is. You better learn how to expect the unexpected because it's coming. It's coming. You know, just like, you know, how folks are supposed to say, you know, till death do us part,
you keep saying
for richer or poorer, in sickness and in health. I mean, those are real things. You know, to love and obey through it all. You know, and like, you know, Pastor C, people can't deal with that.
I'm just going to start it off wrong.
That just goes back to the one word is, you know, really the whole premise of this is the word commitment, and that's one thing that we don't have. People just are not committed. People cannot be committed to things for a long period of time. You know how we do everything. That's right. It comes and goes, you know.
Let me ask you, I'm just going to throw it out there.
Go ahead.
And I'm sitting down with a couple. When I'm sitting down, I'm going to say, look here. You know, I'm going to just say Rev B and Mrs. Rev B.
Right.
B.
Right.
you say that you love Rev B, and Rev B, you say you love her. Now, is your love strong enough that if something happened to the future Mrs. Rev B, where she was paralyzed from the waist down?
Talk.
You hear me, Rev B?
Mm-hmm.
She's paralyzed from the, nothing working from the waist down.
Nothing
working.
Out of commission. Yes, sir.
In other words, what you used to do from the waist down, you're not doing it.
It ain't happening no more.
You with me, Rev B?
The shop is closed. I'm already there. I already understand what you're saying.
Now, the vow that you took, that you was going to be there through thick and thin, for rich and poor, or all of that, you know, now she's in a wheelchair and you rolling her around, you taking care of her, you doing all these things. How are you going to deal with that?
And that's the key. That's the key. How committed are you to the marriage?
That's especially the young folks. Right? Everything popping. Everything popping.
Everything.
She looks good.
Everything.
She looks good. Everything.
And that's
part of the physical attraction.
And, right.
And now it's all shut down.
And guess what? She ain't going to look like that 10, 15 years from now.
Right.
She have a couple of babies. She's not going to look like how she looks when you first met her. But the key is, how committed are you to the relationship?
And do you still love
her? That's the key.
Do you still go to bat for her?
And that's the problem that people have in most relationships, is that they're not able to deal with the changes that come over time. They get married and they think everything is just going to be like how it was from day one.
When you're 18 years old, you're going to stay 18.
When you're 18, 25, whatever. Yeah. She gonna stay 18 for the rest of her life.
Yes.
You know, her thinking and the way she looks and, you know, how she acts and all of this.
And if it don't,
and if it don't, then it's like, okay, well, I didn't sign up for this. You know, I'm ready to just, you know, terminate the marriage and move on to the next one. And see, now, you know, Pastor C, it's so easy for people just to get married and get divorced, you know, and nobody says anything. And I mean, it's everybody. It ain't just small percentages of people. It's everybody, whoever, wherever, from pastors and preachers to leaders to whoever, everybody. Get married, get divorced, get married again, get divorced. You know, it's just on again, off again, on again. It's like almost a game. You know, it's so easy.
And that's what I was talking about, the freedom that we had.
Exactly.
That's what we were talking about Sunday.
Exactly.
Is that, you know, I don't have to stand it. I can get out. I got a prenup,
right?
Even if it's not written.
Even if it's not written, right. And it's like, if you got the money, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, get a lawyer, get a divorce, get your paperwork, and it is done in no time. And that, Pastor C, is one of the luxuries that we have living here in this country, is that, you know, people are pretty much able to do whatever they want to do. And marriage is kind of like, you know, people have a piece to a puzzle, and they try, you know, in some cases, to make it fit. And they're like, well, this ain't really fitting right.
I'm going to try another.
I'm going to try another one. Let me take that, and I'm going to go on to this next piece. Well, this one fits a little better, but then after a while, you're like, I ain't really comfortable, you know, so then you go on to the, and that's how it's become. Instead of working it out, but really, here we go. Let me back up before even that. Before even trying to put your piece in the puzzle, you got to make sure that's the right puzzle for you. There you go.
Talk, sir.
You got to make sure that's the right puzzle. Because every puzzle is not meant for your piece to be in.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that you take that however you want to, but that's the truth. Now, some of us trying to put our piece in every puzzle.
Fixing up
that's what they're trying to do. But it's, you have to be able to know who that person is that you want to spend the rest of your life. But, you know, it's really sad, though, nowadays, because, you know, if you hear people say they've been married longer than 5 years,
people are like, what?
Whoa, you know, they're like standing up and laughing. You know, it's like, oh.
So what I'm saying is, people when they think, what they think about getting married, I don't think they think long term.
Yes, correct.
I think they're thinking short term gratification,
mm-hmm.
short term as far as their commitment, and you know, I believe that. A lot of times, that's why people don't even think about getting married, because they're gonna have the baby, they're gonna get the house, they're gonna try it out, and then they get married. Then once they get married, then they get divorced.
Mm-hmm.
So now you got a child, now you got a house, now you got to try to get out of all of that, because you weren't thinking long term when you were thinking about getting married.
And you hit it right on the nail. Is that people do everything except for actually get married. You know, they in a relationship, they have children, they buy the house, they make all of these, you know, things that married folks should be doing. And then they decide to say, well, I guess we need to just go ahead and make it official. You know, but it's kind of like you're married, but you ain't married. You know, you're doing married folks things, but on paper you're not married. Common law is what they call it. You know, where you're living together and doing all that other stuff, but the courts don't recognize you as actually having a legit marriage license signed by the preacher on such and such date. And that's what folks are doing now. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you taking it for a test drive. You know, yeah. You're not obligated to buy it, you know, and if you get tired of it or you be like, this ain't working, then you take it back,
yeah.
You know, and that's the mentality that many people have nowadays is they're like, you know what, let me just try it and see if this is what I really want. And then, you know, they base their determination off of that.
Let me ask you this question. Is a married couple, children, home, in the community,
mm-hmm.
is that a resource that we need in the community anymore?
No doubt about it. I mean, it's family. That is
the root of every society.
The root of everything is family. It's family. It's family. It's family. And I mean, and it is the traditional family setting. We don't have that anymore. We don't have that now. We've lost that a long time ago.
But if that's the core.
That's the core
to every community, every society. That family resource is what brings stability to our communities. I don't think people are thinking about that when they hear it. I don't think that they're being a resource to the community as a stable husband, a stable wife, you know, stable children, you know, a fixture in a community that says, you know, we're going to stay together, my husband and wife, we're going to stick it out with our children, come hell, high water, you know, the ratio storm that we had, you know, where you power out and you don't have any water, you know, you lose your job, you know. Someone gets sick, someone gets in an accident, that which we saw, I would say, you know, 50 years ago with grandparents still in the picture, with aunties
and moms and dads
still in the picture, and just holding it down, you know, being a resource in the community where little Bobby or little Susie grew up and they needed, you know, a car, or they needed someone to help them with books, or they needed someone to help them to stay someplace where they were in college,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, all those things where they would go back to a household that was a resource where mom and daddy was there and the kids and the grandparents. I don't know if people, when they get married, they think that they would ever become that resource. I don't think they look that far down the road and say, hey, I want to be a resource of stability in my community by marrying this young man or this young woman and raising children and being a stabilizing force in our community that this is the best way that it can be done.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's the only way that it can be done,
but
I'm saying this is the best way and this is the most stable way for everyone involved in my community to be this way. Do you think people think like that when they get married, or do you
no.
think it's just a selfish thing where I'm thinking about myself
right.
for the moment?
And you're absolutely right. I think it's just more or less become, you know, making sure that our needs are met, our desires, and, you know, it's kind of like I want to be with this man, and or I want to be with this woman, and I want her to be my wife.
Yeah, forget the rest of the
world. I want him to be my husband, and, you know, and you're not really thinking about, you know, how this relationship can be a springboard to help change the lives of other people, especially in our Black community. Right, because you don't see too often, especially, you know, it's very seldom that you see young married couples.
Let me go ahead.
Very seldom.
I'm gonna put the lightning rod. I'm gonna put the lightning rod.
Go ahead. We on it.
Slavery.
Yes, sir.
Black folk, when they was in Africa,
mm-hmm.
it was a community thing. It was a tribe thing where everybody was in a community.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they prospered.
Mm-hmm.
You come over here, And what is the first thing is the slave master does is he divides up the male and the female.
Mm-hmm.
And he creates what's called breeding situations on the plantation.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he bred them on the big black male and the big woman,
mm-hmm.
they bred them, and then once that male was finished breeding there, he separated them from the family,
mm-hmm.
sent them to the next plantation where he bred them.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was no connection where the father was in the picture at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like we go back to that mentality where the father is just a breeder. He's not sitting there raising, you know. But that was forced.
That was forced, right.
But now it's selective.
Selective, right. And it's by choice. It's by choice because you have the freedom to do that. And it's almost like, you know, it's almost like the black male just...
I want to go back to slave.
That's what he does. It's just like he doesn't stick around for the responsibilities. He doesn't stick around to take care of his offspring or to have a relationship with this woman who's, you know, who's the mother of his children, so on and so forth. And basically they just hop around from woman to woman and have all of these children, and there's no accountability, there's no type of relationship, and at the end of the day, everybody loses out, you know. And, I mean, and there was a time when there were some black men who were, you know, were doing that, you
yeah.
know, like your father, my
yeah.
father, you
yeah,
know, they were always in the home.
Yeah.
You know, they worked, they did whatever, and I'm sure there are other people.
They came home to one woman.
And can say the same thing, you know, that they had a good father, but now, you know, it's kind of like you just said, Pastor Steve, we're going back, you know, to that mentality of, you know, where men don't want to be married and men don't want to be fathers to their children. They don't want to be husbands to their wives. They don't want any responsibility. They don't want any accountability. They don't want anything. They just want to be free to do whatever they want.
Free to act like a slave.
Free to act like a slave. And like I said last week, the more freedoms you have, the more responsibilities that come with that. You have to be responsible for the freedoms that are given to you, because if you don't, then you'll lose them. And what's happening now is we see the effects of just how that mentality has just affected the community as a whole. You have women who are just feeling battered and beaten and feel like no men love them and all this other stuff. And then you got children, you know, especially young black males who don't have a positive role
mm-hmm.
male figure in their life.
Just
you know, to teach them how to be, you know, teach them how to be men and to teach them how to respect women. And it's just an ongoing circle. And all you see is just the chaos and the confusion and all of these things that have happened over and over time, you know, because, like we said, the male has not been held responsible. He hasn't been held accountable. And because he is the head, everything else falls by the wayside. You know, now, we give credit to women for raising their kids and being strong mothers of the household and the aunties and the grandmas. And they do a magnificent job. And we know that it can be done, but that's not the way that it should be.
Right.
You know, that's right. You know, the family structure should be a strong husband, a strong wife. You know, you have your kids and you raise them according. That's how it should be. That's easy.
Let me ask a question. You talk about easy stuff. So what has caused marriage to get a bad name? Because you said that word easy. What has caused it? Why are people looking or going to a relationship that they want to be easy on? I don't understand. Because I found out that anything that's worth having, you got to build on it. And that's what I tell people.
We're fighting for.
In our premarital counseling that we do is that you got to build a relationship. You got to build. You got to do some things to put some time in, Reb B.
That's right.
To build it so it'll be strong. And you know, you got to start digging down, putting that foundation, you know, putting in the sweat equity to be able to develop something that's going to last.
That's right.
And back to my previous question is, why do people think that it's going to be easy? Why do they want it to be easy? Why do they think it's going to be easy? Is that a reality?
It's not a reality because we know that marriage is not easy. And anytime, you know, let's just be point blank. Relationships are not easy. It's not easy to be in a relationship with anybody. Now, the difference is me and you can be friends.
Yeah.
But guess what? Me and you cannot be friends.
Right.
There's if I choose to be your friend or you choose to be my friend,
it can be that way.
It can be that way. You know what I'm saying? We can pick and choose our friends.
Mm-hmm.
We can pick and choose our husband and wives. But the difference is when you decide to be with someone on that type of level, you have to understand, back to my buzzword for tonight, it's a lifetime commitment.
Oh, my goodness.
It is. It's different. But the thing is, a lot of times, and this is just me, I feel like people rush into marriage,
mm-hmm.
and they don't really get to know who that other person is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of times they don't really find out who that person is that they've married until after they've gotten into the marriage. That's why I got to do your homework.
Let me ask you a question.
Do your homework.
And so when you don't like that quality about the person when you got married,
right?
What decisions do you make? Are you going to say, okay, I've had enough, I'm gone?
Right.
Or are you going to try to work it out?
That's right. And that's the key. You got to work it out.
But now,
My thing is, see, you have, now listen, everybody's not perfect. Everybody's not perfect. But the thing is, you got to weigh the cost, boss. You got to weigh the cost. If the flaws that you want to deal with are greater than the positives, then it's no deal. Now, if you realize that the person has more to offer than their, you know, in comparison to their flaws, then it's something that you can work with. But the key is you have to be able to know who this person is inside out before you walk into that door of a lifetime commitment. Like, do your homework. Know who this, because a lot, like I said, people get married, but they don't know who that person is that they're really marrying. I mean, ask those important questions. You know, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Is your soul saved? What type of household did you come up with? What are your beliefs? What is it? You know, ask those type, if this is the person that you want to be with for the rest of your life. Because when we say the rest of your life, we mean the rest of your life.
Let me go ahead. I've seen many folks come to the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask them, and I let them know up front, I said, we got 16 weeks of premarital counseling.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say 85 to 90% of them choose not to go that route, but got to choose to go another route.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they don't want to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a phenomenon in people getting married that they see the 800-pound gorilla in the room?
The elephant is in the room. The elephant's in the room.
But they don't want to deal with it. Because they're so in love. I mean, love.
Yeah, you said it right, love.
They don't want to deal with
the
800-pound elephant in the room.
But that's the key, Pastor.
Or the 800-pound gorilla.
That is the key.
So they don't want to come and sit down where they know I'm going to tell them this is what the Word of God says.
Right.
This is what a relationship says.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they want to bypass that,
right,
and not deal with the 800-pound gorilla?
They don't want to hear it. And one of the problems that I, and even with the couple that I've been counseling, one of the problems is that some of them, one of the things I like to do is for them to recognize and see where they are different,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to see like, okay, we're bringing all of this out. We're hashing all of this out now so that you can see where each other stands, but know how people think, know their perceptions, know their beliefs, know everything. And at the end of the day, if this is what you want to deal with for the rest of your life,
then you can move forward.
Then you can move forward. If it's something that you still have doubts and questions or uncertainties about, then you need to take a step back and you need to reevaluate. Because once you cross that line and say, we're ready to proceed and move forward into marriage, then there it is. you know, but like you say, I think a lot of people just don't want to know everything.
They don't, and that's been my experience.
And they don't, and you know what? They don't want to ask those important questions. They don't want to have those critical conversations. It's like, oh, I found somebody, and I don't want to mess it up if I find out something bad about him. Look, baby, if you're going to be with him for the rest of your life, you need to know everything. You need to know everything, from his medical history to his sexual history to the finances to his credit to whatever. Whether he done, how many jobs he done had,
my question is,
why he got fired.
Why don't they want to know all these things? Why do they don't want to address the 800
times? Let me say this. Love is blind.
Let me ask you, Doc, love is blind. I'm telling you, when people
are in love, it could be two 800-pound gorillas in the room, and they won't even see them. Love, I tell people all the time, I say love is a drug, and it will make you lose your mind. It will make you lose your mind. And it will make you not see things that you're supposed to see. It makes you lose all of your reason, all of your sadness, everything. When you are in love, all you do is focus on that person. And sometimes folks are not able.
Like the endorphins.
That's right. They're blinded. They're blinded, you know, to everything. It's like they're showing you the signs.
That's what I'm talking about.
But you're so in lust, you can't see them. I didn't say love. I said lust. You're so in lust and infatuated that you don't see any of that. You know this guy got abusive behavior, but you don't even see it.
For big people in the eye, cut people, you know.
Then when they get married, they see it. I'm like, but didn't you see that before?
Folks got 10 kids and still cheating around on you, but you love them. And,
love them. Yeah,
you know, well, your pastor ain't gonna marry, but we ain't gotta go to pastor.
Right.
We're gonna bypass pastor.
And that's the thing now, Pastor Keith, that most people don't even seek premarital counseling. Most people don't even get married in church before. They just bypass all of that. And see, that's the freedom.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to the freedom.
Yeah.
You know, they be like, I can go to Justice Peace, give me a marriage license, and you know, we on it. You know what I'm saying? We on it. We got a call ahead.
Hello, caller, you on the air.
How you doing? Reverend B?
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, how are you? Who's this I'm speaking with?
This is Tracy of Forestville, Maryland.
Hi, Sister Tracy. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Oh, I'm sitting on a, I'm just, y'all just have me smiling.
Uh-oh.
Y'all on that subject, love.
All right, what you got?
What I got, I just want to say y'all are so right. Love is mine, but love is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
And love will make you do some things that you don't want to do.
Absolutely.
You're right about that.
But I gotta give it to you too. Before you get married, you must seek some counseling. And I like one of the points that you said, Reverend B. You said when you do your counseling, you let each one see what they dislike of each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's
if they see it there and it becomes a problem there, then that's telling you something. That they may need to seek either more counseling or just need to learn to get past that and go on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that's, you know, and that's why we say sometimes people are so in love that they're almost blinded to the sign. Because, you know, Sister Tracy, if you're with somebody for a long period of time, you're going to begin to pick up on some things. You're going to have some red flags and you're going to see some things that may come to your mind and be like, you know what, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with?
That key word.
You know, and that's the thing. If you're looking at this person as perhaps being a potential husband or a potential wife, you know, you got to do your homework, you know, and I think the longer you're in a relationship with somebody, you're going to begin to see you know, how you're different, how you're alike. But the key is, I think, you know, do they have more to offer than they don't?
Right.
You know,
right.
And it's kind of like you're weighing the positives against the negatives. And not that you're trying to just seek out somebody's bad qualities or whatever, but sometimes some people's qualities that may be a positive in one relationship can be a negative in another relationship. And so you have to see how their qualities match up with what you have to offer, because it's a fit. It has to fit. You know, and we don't marry people just on how they look.
I hope not.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that was the case, I'd have been married a long time ago. You know what I'm saying? But that's not the case. Is that we don't marry off of attractiveness. You have to dig deeper than just, you know, the skin and see
right.
who the person really is. And that's why, you know, I always tell people, you know, if you're thinking about getting married, you know, do your homework. Do your homework. No
homework.
Yeah.
Right. When you say homework, go to family outings with them. How do they act around your family? How do you act around their family? How was they raised in their household?
Are they the mama's boy or the daddy's girl? Right.
There you go.
Exactly. And those are the things that, you know, we try to, you know, tell people that we counsel is, you know, there's more to being married than just you. I mean, you have to deal with your in-laws and relatives and, you know, all of that. I mean, you got to study him. What type of relationship does he have with his mother? You know, if he doesn't have a good relationship with his mother, guess what? The odds are he's not going to have a good relationship with you. Because that ought to be a sign
red
there.
That should be
a constant red flag. But yeah, you're absolutely right, Sister Trace. You know, we tell people, you know, do your homework, always go through counseling. But you know, nowadays people can get married and they don't have to go through the church. They can bypass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why the divorce rate is so high, is because you know, we just have people, you know, who can go through all of that, you know, that they need to get married at a church. They need to seek counseling and
exactly.
do all of those things and hear from the man of God who will give them direction and insight. If you go to a judge, he just want his money
and
he's going to get paid, you know what I'm saying?
And so,
send you on your way. So that's why we are, you know, encouraging people, do your homework, seek that counseling, and, you know, and then take it from there. And then once you go through the counseling, then you'll be able to determine whether or not this is the person that, you know, you want to be with for the rest of your life.
This is Pastor C. Can I ask you, what would you think of if a person you was getting ready, considering getting married to, said that he wants a prenuptial agreement? What would you think of?
Oh, I would have to really do some history on him. I mean, a prenuptial agreement, yeah, it would kind of turn me off, tell you the truth. It's just a turn off. I would just have to humble myself, be patient, and just pray about it and say, Lord, give me the signs.
Because the reason why I ask is, like, when you have a prenuptial agreement, that's almost
right.
like you're saying that at some point we get ready to get divorced.
Right. I mean, to me, it's a smack. I mean, some people may not feel like this. It's just like a smack in your face, like a red flag, like, okay, are you planning something down the line here or what, you know?
Exactly.
To cover.
So it would just make me open my eye a little wider.
Yeah. So these are the type of things that when we go through counseling that we try to bring out. And the last question I'm going to ask you is, does it seem like, or why do you think people like would rather avoid dealing with these questions up front? I always tell people in our 16 weeks that what's 16 weeks in light of 50 or 60 years of marriage? What's 16 weeks? And I ask them, why wouldn't you want to
remember right there at that moment, those 16, they're in love. Love is blind, you know. You just you want it. You want them 16 weeks to be over with.
Right. Yeah. You're right. And they won't take no for an answer.
There you go.
Yeah, because even if the pastor says he ain't going to marry him, guess what? They can bypass you.
And that's
still go get married.
But they're going to go, wait, in 8 weeks, I let them know if I'm going forward or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I can refer to somebody else.
Yeah. Wow. But thank you, Sister Tracy, for calling in. We appreciate it so much. And thank you for always listening. I know you listen to us like every week. We thank you so much. And keep up the good work. You owe me a Sunday, too. Don't forget.
Yes, that's fine.
All right. I'll talk to you later. Take care.
Bye.
Yeah, Pastor C. But we
definitely are concerned with that whole foundational relationship of community.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that we no longer can depend on? Is it something that is no longer looked as vital or important to our community?
Right.
The married couple that brings stability to the social, the economic, the whole flow of the community.
Yeah.
I mean, is it vital anymore? Is it something that people, when they get married, they're thinking about? You know, it's not just me and my boo,
right,
but it's me, my boo, my family, and the community that I live in.
Right.
I think back 40, 50 years ago, people were more concerned with the community they live in. I think people now, they move in the community, and they're just looking for the house, and they're just looking for to get away from places, to get
right
away from people.
Correct.
And they're not concerned about the community. I don't even care who...
Don't even care who their neighbors are. I mean,
don't care who your neighbor is. What am I doing? How am I doing?
Right. It's almost to the point where, you know, we live in, you know, seclusion. I think we got another caller here.
Oh, yeah. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Pastor Stewart, this is Dr. Evans.
Dr. Evans, good to hear from you. How are you, sir?
I'm doing wonderful, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. So good to hear from you. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you. Well, it's always good to hear your voice, my brother.
Thank you. Likewise.
Listen, I got in on the tail end of this, but may I give a little 2 cents here?
Oh, you can have more than 2 cents. It's always good to have a preacher on the phone. You gotta have more than 2 cents. Hey, take your time, Doc. Go ahead. Say what you need to say.
Well, I must apologize. First of all, I didn't know you had to push one in order to talk. So forgive me.
Okay.
But the question came up earlier in you all's conversation. Why is marriage so hard?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to address that in a sense. We have to remember that anything that God has established and ordained, Satan is going to fight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Satan is not going to fight things such as gay marriage,
mm-hmm,
because God didn't ordain it and he didn't establish it.
All right. Talk about it.
So we have to go back to differentiating the difference between covenant and contract.
Mm-hmm.
See, there are a lot of individuals that get married and look at marriage as a contract.
All right. There you go.
God never established a marriage to be a contract. Let's look at a contract. A contract can be breached.
Mm-hmm.
It can be broken.
That's right.
It can be torn up. It can be shredded. But the marriage vows is a covenant.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, when you go into covenant, the only way to get out of the covenant is through death. It's only one way, and that's through death.
That's it.
So we got to be so very careful we have to teach young people or any person that's going into marriage to don't look at what you see, but look at what you can't see.
All right, then.
We listen. It's the thing that you can't see that can hurt you. There used to be a saying that said, what you don't know won't hurt you. Well, the devil is a lie. What you don't know will kill you.
Well, there you are. It will kill you. That's right.
So we have to get to the place that we know the differences. Someone mentioned a few minutes ago about a prenup. Let me tell you what a prenup really is. We talk about a prenup. A prenup is actually a premeditation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to receive a prenup, then you're giving me a premeditation that your intentions are to break it off with me at a certain point.
That's right.
Even before you get into the contract.
That means it's already been planned. It's like premeditation.
It's already been planned.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we've got to begin to instill in individuals, look, if you are not about covenant, then I can't marry you.
That's it.
And if you do not understand what covenant is, then you are not ready for marriage.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. Years ago, and this was many years ago, I had this was before everybody and their mama and brothers was coming out of closets and all this kind of stuff. But this...
Tell it, Dr. Evans.
This guy came to me and he came to the church and he said, Pastor, I want you to marry me. I'm getting married and so on. So I said, okay, well, you all come on to counseling and get on your books and let's make an appointment. Right. And he this guy with him and I said, oh, are you his brother? And the guy said, this is my, I'm going to say it for the sake of words, this is my friend. They didn't say partner back then. They got more vulgar. But I said, hold on. I said, hold it. I said, hold the bus. Hold this bus. I said, let me explain something to you. I don't marry homosexuals.
Right.
I don't marry lesbians.
Right.
We kind of thought that, but I was going to give you a donation of a certified check for $2,000 for $2,000 to your church, and then I wanted to give you a certified check for $1,000 because I enjoy your preaching so much.
Oh,
I was hoping. I said, listen, you cannot buy the gospel.
That's it.
And I dare not prostitute the anointing that God has given me to commit a sin.
That's it.
So the answer is still no. Take your money and go. So we got to be so careful that we are not just examples, but we are good examples that young people can look at us and say, well, if Stuart, if Evans and so forth can make it by doing what is right, then I can do what is right and I can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically, and I'm going to be quiet after this, I promise you. But the thing, especially in the black community with black young males, is this. It is about character and integrity. And if you don't have character and integrity, you're not going to make it. Because it's not what you do in front of the people, but it's what you do when nobody's looking.
That's right.
And when you have integrity, you will be committed. You will be available. You will know about covenant. And you will stay in that marriage knowing that whatever issue that you have, God is able to turn it around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's right. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Listen, God never intended for a man to marry a woman and have a sweetheart on the side.
Amen.
He never intended it. See, we talk about Solomon being the wisest man on the earth. Yes, Solomon was wise, but he was also unwise.
That's right.
Because any man that has 700 wives and 300 girlfriends,
come on now.
He gonna get himself in trouble.
That's right.
Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. Come on here.
I think Joe Tex wrote a song, "Trying to Love Too." Ain't easy to do.
I just wanted to put that 2 cents in. Thank you so much, God.
Thank you so much, Dr. Evans. We really appreciate you, man, and thank you for supporting us here. And keep up the great work. You continue to be a blessing and do an outstanding job in your ministry.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Bless you both.
And Dr. Evans, before you go, give us your name and everything, your church before you go. We always like to have you give us your church name and where you're located in case people want to come visit you.
James Evans, I'm the pastor of Rescue Cathedral Church of God in Christ, College Park, Maryland, 3621 Campus Drive, right on the campus of University of Maryland.
All right. Thank you so much, Doc. I'll be talking to you soon. You got God bless you. Take care.
God bless you too now.
All right.
Yeah, those were some good words of wisdom, good words of wisdom there, Rev B. We are grateful. Looks like folks are trying to call in all over the place tonight. we want to give the number out for people to call in, and the number is 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And you can call in. We're going to take about a 2-minute break, and we're going to be right back and talk more about marriage, what people are thinking about when they get married, and what are they thinking about when they're getting divorced. So we're going to be back in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Covenant instead of the contract. Definitely
things that are needed to know before you get into a marriage. And a lot of the young folks that come to me, Rev B, and they're looking for a wedding. They see these things on TV. They see these things that, you know, mama and them have told them, and a lot of times parents try to live their lives through their kids and weddings. And, you know, that's what I think a lot of people are thinking before they get married, is they're thinking about a wedding and how many bridesmaids they're going to have and how many groomsmen and how much my dress or how much my ring. I've had some people break up because the ring that the fellow was trying to buy wasn't going to be big enough for
them. Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that I think people are thinking out about before they get married. And it's sad that, you know, you will think about just one day compared to what's going on for a lifetime. And you know, it's our responsibility, you know, to say, hey, you know, marriage is more than just a wedding, you know. A wedding's going to come, it's going to go, folks going to come, they're going to eat your chicken, your meatballs, they're going to talk about you, and they're going to give you a toaster that they got from Christmas and go on about their business.
That's right.
But those are the things that people are thinking about. And then I believe that the things that they're thinking about when they're getting in divorce is they're thinking about moving on and trying to get something better than what they have. And that's when you run into what I call the grass is greener on the other side. So those are the two things we want to talk about. The second half hour is really the grass greener on the other side? And really, you know, are we more concerned with the wedding than we are with the marriage? Rebby?
Yeah, that's a good question. I have to see about whether the grass is really, really green on the other side. And one thing you have to realize is that, you know, that the marriage is just what it is, you know. It's the wedding is what it is. It's just a ceremony. But, you know, the marriage piece, you know, like Dr. Evans has said, you know, it's not a contract. It's an agreement. It's lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It can't breach. Like you said, you can't tear it up. You can't throw it away.
Renegotiate
the terms. None of that. You know, once you enter into a covenant, it is forever. And a lot of times people, you know, don't realize that, you know, marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to be married.
Let me just throw a little.
You gotta work.
Can I throw a little trouble?
Yeah, go ahead. Stir the pot. I mean, you want to stir the pot.
Blood covenant.
It's covered.
Mm-hmm. In the Bible, there's a blood covenant that can actually occur between a husband and wife on their honeymoon.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's a place in the woman's anatomy that when the man's anatomy comes in contact with it,
mm-hmm.
that there's virgin anatomy,
mm-hmm.
that there will be a blood covenant that actually happens at the moment of consummating the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you tell me that God didn't got that going on.
Yeah, he do.
And if you go to your physician and you try to determine if there's virgin anatomy there, they're looking for that part of the anatomy that will create a blood covenant that would cover the male's anatomy on the moment of consummation of the marriage of their marriage night. And whatever happened to all that? Is anybody teaching that anymore?
No.
Is anybody saying that you going into that blood covenant when that and that part of the female anatomy comes in contact with the male anatomy, and there's that blood covenant when both the female anatomy is virgin?
Say that word again.
It's virgin.
Say it one more time.
It's virgin.
There you go. Because guess what? That opened up a whole other can of worms.
That's why I just want to hold it right there. Hold your point right there. Because that's what God intended.
That was the intention.
That's the intent.
That was his intention.
Right. For it to be a blood covenant with the virgin anatomy coming. And there was a covenant between husband and wife. That's what solidified that covenant that they were enter into through that marriage act.
Right.
through that covenant of the anatomy coming, and then that blood going over top of the male, and that's what made the two become one.
Right. But we got blood contracts.
Oh my goodness.
We got blood contracts. We ain't got no blood covenants. That's what we got.
Oh my.
We got blood contracts. You know. And Pastor C, you're absolutely right. I mean,
you don't hear that stuff no more.
People have no idea what you're talking about, because most people that are entering into marriage have already done had blood contracts.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're not coming to the altar with pure white on. You understand what I'm saying? It's got a little taint on it, you know? But that's just how we getting down now. You know, we just signing contracts with whoever and just doing whatever we want to do. And we just feel like once we do it, okay, that's it. We move on to the next one. So that's how we are. That's how we are as far as sexual relationships,
mm-hmm.
and as far as we with our personal relationship. There is no, we are not a covenant type of people anymore where we do things
mm-hmm.
the right way and do them for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, okay, well, I'll hang out with you for a while, and if I get tired,
that's
of you,
the way folks then, flipping it out of church.
And if man, he preaching too much about something I don't want to hear. You know what? I'm going on over to Brother So-and-So.
Exactly.
And that's just how it is. There is no type. Everything is done on a contract. And that contract, the majority of the time, Pastor C, is based on emotion, how we feel.
Yeah.
If it don't feel right, if it don't taste right, if it don't look right, then we say, you know what, maybe this is not for me. But, you know, you got
to
realize that.
I got to roll up.
But you got to realize that in a covenant, in an agreement, everything is not going to always run smoothly. But at the end of the day, you have to know that these things are helping you to become.
Right. And you create a certain term.
Yeah. It helps you become a better person. It strengthens your relationships. It makes you wiser. It does all of that. But, like you say, we just contract. We contract
for. There's no blood.
We ain't blood brothers. You know what I'm saying? We should have that agreement. You know, you cut your finger, I cut my finger. And that's like mafia.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they used to do. That was a covenant.
But I don't think that anatomy piece is being taught anymore.
No.
About how that covenant is actually consummated. You know, with the virgin anatomy and that blood that covers during that particular act. That's the covenant. That's how God made the anatomy of the female. That part that covers that part of her female anatomy until the male anatomy comes in contact with it, and then you have that blood cover.
Yeah.
Where did that go, man? Where did that go?
That went out the door a long time ago. I mean, because
nobody like Dr. Evans said, nobody's talking about it.
Nobody's talking about it. Nobody is held to those standards. I mean, very very seldom do you hear people talking about you know being pure until you get married and saving yourself until you get married and saving yourself to be with another person, you know, who's of the same status and faith and belief of you all, keeping themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody believes in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like this. People view sex the same way they view marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'd be like, well, we just want to try it out to see, you know, what it feels like,
right.
Blah, blah, blah,
right.
Blah, 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 blah. And that's what people do.
And
people,
when I get tired of this one.
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, and it's just kind of like, you know, that's just how they view it. It's just contract. You just be with this person for a little bit, sexually, in a relationship, whatever, and then you just move on to the next one. You know, and if you just so happen to find somebody that you may be interested in,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
then you decide you want to
take chance.
By chance. It's by rolling the dice. It's like playing craps. You know, just by chance, if it lasts longer than a year or two, you're like, well, perhaps maybe he is the one that I want to be with, the one I want to marry. But, you know, Pastor C, it shouldn't be like that. But I think the bigger picture is, Pastor C, is that we have lost God in all of the picture. We have lost God in this whole process.
So So when people think about getting married, and that's our thing,
right.
They're not thinking about God.
No.
God
is nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
God, and a lot of times, you know, if people don't get married in churches or seek counsel from the pastor, there's really no God in the thing.
Yeah, not at all.
You know, it's just all, okay.
Make up your own vow.
Make up your own vow, yeah. Justice of peace, blah, 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 whatever you want to do, and you just move on, you know. And that's pretty much.
So when they think about getting married, they're not thinking about God.
Mm-mm.
They're just thinking about what your vow is, what my vow is. They're not thinking about what God
Mm-mm.
says about marriage.
No. Not at all.
And that's why I asked the question, what are people thinking about before they get married? Are they thinking about God? Are they thinking about their community? Are they thinking about others that they affect? Basically, they're thinking about having a wedding and saying their own vows and doing their own thing. And I believe, you know, that none of us can live by ourselves. Everybody, we need each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that it's important that, you know, when the two become one, you know, we have to talk about that on another show. The two become one, we have
consummate.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have to really think about how is our oneness with each other, with God, how are we going to affect, you know, the rest of our community for good,
yeah.
to help to show everyone else how it should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a lost art now. I think everyone is so self-consumed, they no longer see themselves as resources to the community or anybody else, but they're self-consumed. They're self-consumers, so much so that it's to the detriment of our society. When men don't want to marry and stay with women, it's a detriment to our society.
Yeah.
When women marry men and don't stay in that covenant relationship, it's a detriment to our community.
Yeah.
And we wonder why our communities are in such bad shape. We wonder for poverty. We wonder why we struggle so much. It's because, you know, we're not being true to our relationship. We're not being true to what God has intended it to be.
Yeah.
And what's happening is we become covenant breakers, and then you suffer the consequence of being covenant breakers.
Yeah. And that's what God clearly says that in His Word. He talks about, you know, fornication. You know, He talks about that being an abomination of sin, and you shall surely die. He talks about, you know, marriage, and, you know, the only grounds for marriage is adultery. You know, and I mean, He talks about those things. But the problem is that our freedoms, can I go there?
Go.
Our freedoms have allowed us to even get to the point where we are able to bypass the Word of God. We feel like the Word of God does not pertain to us.
Does not pertain.
But you see the evidence of why, of how fornication has destroyed
many a person.
Okay.
And you wonder why it destroys the community.
You wonder why we have all these sexually transmitted diseases.
Can I go ahead?
Is running and rapid.
It destroys the church.
It destroys the church. Don't say the church. It destroys the church. Fornicators are everywhere. They in the pulpit. They on the deacon board. They in the choir. They are everywhere. And so because people have so many freedoms,
yeah.
they feel that nothing applies to them, not even the Word of God. They say, I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to go out here and sleep with every woman or every guy I want to, I'm going to do it. That's my thing. Not even concerned about the repercussions
yeah.
of your actions.
Like the AIDS.
It's almost a blessing if you wind up pregnant and don't
right.
get nothing that'll kill you.
Right.
You know, so, and that has destroyed our community. That's destroyed our community. We out here sleeping with whoever, passing all types of germs and diseases amongst one another. And it's not just homosexuals,
it's
heterosexuals
as
well.
If you slept with 20 guys, and that's what I saw in premarital counseling,
yeah.
you need to know what their sexual background is.
Exactly.
Because if you slept with 20 guys,
yeah.
right, you bring those 20 guys into your relationship.
Correct.
Now, this is where the draw drops.
Yeah.
Now, if those 20 guys had a relationship with 10 guys,
that's 200 people.
That you bring it into your relationship.
You need to
you them slept with 5,000 people.
Are you with me?
That's 1,000 people.
So that's the jaw. That's the jaw dropping thing when they come in and
that's
they sit
one,
down.
That's a whole congregation.
When they sit down and we talk to them.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and some of this stuff doesn't prop up. You know, it's incubated and it's not cropping up until later on.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to sit down and try to talk to people, try to talk to young people, older people, and you try to explain that dynamic.
Explain that dynamic.
You know,
and they don't realize.
But they're not thinking about that prior to marriage. So that's where we keep going back to the question, what are people thinking about before they get married?
What are people thinking about before they, and like you say, has society just gotten to the point where, you know, we are just selfish individuals. We want what we want, and we want it when we want it. You know, and it's like we will not be denied. It's like we will not take no for an answer. And you know, the other thing is, Pastor C, is that society is a very, I would almost say, very deceptive, somewhat wicked place, because a lot of people feel that the pressures of society force them to do things that they know is wrong. You know, the pressure that you have to be married by a certain time, you have to have children by a certain time, you need to have sex before you're such and such age.
Notches on your belt.
Notches on your belt. Not when you get married, but years before you get married, or even if you ever get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and those are the pressures that society puts on people, and people rush to do these things, and they're not aware of the consequences that come with the action.
Yeah.
You know, and that is one of the major things, is that we do stuff, but we don't think things through.
And that's why I ask.
Yeah, we don't think things through.
Why do we think it out? What do we think about?
We don't.
Prior to getting married.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to take the second part now. Wow.
Yeah.
To how it's going. what we want to talk about with the second part of this second hour is, what are people thinking about when they get ready to get divorced? What's going through their mind? And I like what Dr. Evans said earlier about is that the role of Satan that plays in trying to destroy what God has put together.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that what God has joined together, don't let anyone put asunder.
Right.
So what are people thinking about? What are the driving factors? What are the highlights? What pushes people over to the point where I give up and I'm getting out of it? And so we want to talk about that in the second part of our second hour. But we're inviting people to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. And as always, you can hit us on Twitter. And that's at PACDC316.
Yes,
also, you can check us out on Facebook. And that's at Pastors Aid, that's PASTORSAID.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about marriage. We're talking about marriage and divorce, asking the question, what are people thinking about before they get married, and what people are thinking about when they're getting ready to get divorced. And we've had a great conversation here. We've had some great input from callers, and we're just exploring these things, because it really needs to be our consciousness needs to be prompted, our spirits need to be prompted, that we really need to think about these things prior to getting married. And then once you're in the marriage, what do we think about? Why are we trying to jump out of this thing? What's pushing us over? So, Rev B, we want to take 2 minutes break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to say what is pushing people to get divorced? What is pushing people
over the
influence that are pushing people over the edge? So give us about 2 minutes, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Have you ever loved somebody the way that he's somebody? somebody, somebody like you. Somebody like you.
Selfishness.
Mm-hmm.
it goes back to being selfish because it's what you want.
The buzzword in society, and I think they've adopted it from Hollywood, is irreconcilable difference. In other words, like you said yourself, is we can't come to an agreement on how to deal with it. And when you say selfish, Doc, what's happening is people saying is we can't come to an agreement how I want it to work out my way.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go there. When you say irreconcilable difference, like you said, it's talking about I can't get it to go my way. And so what happens is in that marriage.
Say that again, please. Just to say that again. Come on, folks, to hear that.
I can't get it to go my way.
It's irreconcilable.
Because I can't get it to go my way.
Thank you.
and that goes to your point that it deals to selfishness. And so that's what people are thinking about when they get divorced. They're thinking about that I want this to go my way.
Mm-hmm.
And this person, I can no longer work with this person to get things to go my way.
Correct.
That's what you say when you say irreconcilable difference.
Yeah.
That you're saying that we can't get it to go my way. I can't get it to go my way. And so when people are thinking about that, what they're thinking about doing is getting to a place where they can have something their way. And so now they're ready to split up with this person
mm-hmm.
because it's not going their way. And the bottom line is when you're in a marriage, there's a time where things are going to go your way, and there's times when things are not going to go your way.
Correct.
And what you have to do is you have to get to a point where you have to realize that if you're not with a person that's willing to do what's best for the relationship, that you're going to get in a position where you're going to have to tough it out until that person comes around to saying, okay, I understand why this is not best for the relationship. So now I'm willing to work with that person so it can be best for the relationship. And sometimes you have to wake people up.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody wants to wake anybody up.
That's right.
Nobody wants to wait for a person to come around. It's almost like, you know, we'll throw the baby out with the bathwater. We're tired of waiting on the baby. You know, it's still a baby. But we're tired of waiting for this baby to mature, and so I'm just going to throw it out, and then go to get somebody else and then do the same thing. And so you see this in Hollywood where, you know, these couples, they get together, and, you know, just one person after another person after another person, and it's in the tabloids, it's on the TV, it's been in the newspaper, and they always have this irreconcilable differences.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is society adopts that Hollywood mentality that if it doesn't go my way, I can just leave.
Mm-hmm.
I can just go my way. I don't have to tough anything out. I don't have to wait for anything to mature. It's like baking a cake. You gotta put the ingredients in it. You gotta put it at the right temperature with the butter. You gotta do all those things. You gotta grease your cake pan. You gotta do all those things. And so I want cake right now.
Right. And that's the thing, Pastor T, is that people walk into a marriage already thinking they're going to have a well-oiled machine. They already think that they're going to get behind the wheel, they're going to turn the car on, and it's going to run smooth. When you get into a marriage, all you got is the parts. All you got is the parts.
You got to make it work.
You got to make it work. You got to know how to put the parts together. And then once you learn how to put the parts together, then you got to know how to keep the car in a condition where it can run smoothly all the time, which means you got to know when to rotate the tire.
And you got to have the proper maintenance.
You got to have the proper maintenance. You got to know when to change the oil. You got to know when to
flush
the transmission and check the coolants and all that. That's what a marriage is. You got to know the signs. When the check the engine light comes on, you just don't.
Let me tell you when the check engine light comes on.
You know, that's
the check engine light comes on.
You're like, oh, that's
when one of the parties is not doing what they did early on in the relationship.
Can I go there?
You go
there. That's what the check engine like. Now, if you used to on certain days of the week or certain days of the month do a certain thing for Mrs. B,
right?
And now you no longer do a thing,
right?
That's what the check engine like. Come on.
That's right.
That's what people are starting to think about when they think about getting divorced. Well, he doesn't do like he used to do.
Lack
of
consistency.
She doesn't. She used to
right.
Send me a card and text me this and,
right.
and fix dinner, and he used to open the door and send me flowers.
Right.
And so that's what people are thinking about when they get ready to get divorced. They're thinking about, well, it used to be like this.
They'd be like, things have changed.
But it ain't like this.
Yeah, things have changed.
And then another Hollywood saying is that we've grown apart.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've right. grown apart.
And you know, Pastor C, it's not even an issue of growing apart. It's just the fact that you forgot what you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. People like consistency. When things begin to change, there is always going to be a seed of doubt. A doubt about yourself. Does he not find me attractive anymore? Does he not find me beautiful?
Is he seeing somebody else?
All of these, when you begin to
That's
see changes in the relationship,
when they get ready to divorce,
this is what automatically comes to mind. They automatically think the worst. And then the crazy part is they don't talk about it.
Ding, 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 ding. Say that again.
They don't talk about it. The signs are there. The elephant has already blown his horn in the room, and you still don't want to recognize there is a problem.
Two 800-pound elephants
in the room. Right. And because when you're in a relationship, communication does not have to be verbalized.
No.
You can see it in the actions
yeah.
of whoever you're with.
Yeah.
And you know just by the body language
something right.
something's not right. You can ask, maybe something wrong. She's going to be like, no,
nope.
I'm fine.
Nope.
But her body says, you
yeah.
dang all right, we got a problem. And we need to talk about it right now. You know what I'm saying? And so those are the things that you have to pay attention to. But most importantly, Pastor City, like you said, you have to be consistent in what you do. If you started off doing this, you got to make sure you're consistently doing that, you know, through the marriage. Because you have to be consistent in what you do. Because the slightest little change will open up the door for doubt. And then that's when things start happening. Well, you don't do this. You don't say this. You used to do this. You used to do this. Why we don't do this no more? Why we don't go out? Why we don't go here? You know, and you start having all of these questions
and
of
so,
why.
So what happens is what people are thinking about when they're thinking about getting divorced
mm-hmm.
is they start thinking on the things that are negative
right.
more than the things that are positive.
Right, right. And that's the thing is that it's so easy. It's so easy. That's just the,
and
that's the way of the world, that we always look at the negatives in everything before we look at anything positive.
And so we've been together for 20 years.
We assume the worst.
Right.
We've been
together for 20 years
yeah.
and all those positive things for
yeah.
20 years.
Yeah.
And so now I'm starting thinking about divorce.
Right.
I'm not thinking about the positive things for 20 years. I'm thinking about what you did, you know,
right.
here lately.
Right.
You know, and not thinking about maybe you're sick, maybe you're depressed, maybe you have things going on with your
work
family.
Work or
maybe at work
yeah.
or love yeah. work. You know, so you have a tendency to throw all those positive things out the window.
Out the window, right.
And focus in on the negative. That's how people start thinking about divorce.
Right.
And once they get on that divorce rail
right.
and start picking up speed,
mm-hmm.
it's hard to stop. Irreconcilable
right. Unstoppable.
Differences. Irreconcilable differences. The other word, the other buzzword is we've grown apart.
Mm-hmm.
And those things are what people start to think about when they're thinking about getting divorced. And then you have the challenge, and we're going to talk about this for our last half hour,
mm-hmm.
the challenge of what happens when one of the spouses decides to be infidelity
mm-hmm.
in the relationship.
Yeah.
That's the biggie right there.
That's the biggie.
What are people going to do? What are people going to do when that happens?
Yes.
And it's not a one stop fit all shop.
No sir. It's not. You know, it's not a one size fits all. It's not a
you know, one stop shop. It's none of those things. And that, you know, Pastor C is, you know, that's the key, because there's a lot of that goes on.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of infidelity that goes on in marriages nowadays, and you know, some people are cool with it.
some people are thinking about it.
Yeah. You know,
and it's not happening.
You know, I mean, and it, you know, and it happens. You know, that, you know, people.
So now I'm getting falsely accused, so now I'm thinking about divorce.
Yeah. You know, and it happens. Oh, I've seen the way you were looking at her. I've seen the way you were looking at him. And then you would, I mean, it, you know, the enemy has a way of seeping in.
Yeah.
And that's why when you are married, you got to be A1 tight. I mean, your game has to be, you have to have a tight marriage. It's almost like when you are married, it has to be a secret society where you don't let anybody into
or anything
into your personal space. You don't even let people get that close to you.
Wow.
You know, I mean, because
that sounds like another show.
Yeah, because you have to. I'm serious. Because you never know, Pastor C, who the enemy will employ.
Mm.
To destroy your marriage, your family, your reputation, and any of that. You don't know who he will employ. It could be the best friend you thought you ever had in the whole world.
Mm.
And they've been employed by the enemy to set you up. And so that's why, you know, you guard your marriage and guard your family with all that you have.
It's the closest relationship. That's what the Bible says, where the two become one.
That's right.
Between the man and the woman.
Between the man and the
closest relationship.
That's the closest relationship there is, yeah.
On this earth.
On this earth. And you let nothing. I don't care who you are, what you do. Your marriage is the most important thing outside of your relationship with God.
You mean the kids don't come for it? I'm going to mess with you.
Dial.
You mean the kids?
Yeah.
Can't come.
Hey,
mama and them can't comfort.
I always heard the term happy wife is a happy life. So if your wife's happy, the kids will be fine.
So you can't put the kids out there on Front Street.
Dude, you gotta.
You mean they're gonna grow up and leave, and you got to stay with your wife?
Yes, right. They'll be gone in 18.
What about mama and them?
They'll be gone.
Mama, daddy, and them.
Kids will be gone in a few years. You got to stay.
And mama and daddy be gone.
Mom, daddy be gone too.
At a certain point.
At a certain point in time, but she'll be there.
Uh-huh.
When all else fails, she's still gonna be there.
Can't put them in front.
No, sir. Oh. That's the covenant right there. That's the covenant right there. Can't mess with the covenant. You know, it's dangerous when you mess with that covenant, Doc. It's dangerous. And that's the thing that people must realize is that, you know, people, I mean, in all sincerity, people have really lost the respect of marriage. And when I say the respect of marriage, I mean the fear, the respect, the reverence that comes with
reverence.
You know, the reverence that comes with marriage, that, you know, this is something that, you know, we respect, that we cherish, because we know it's something that is of God, something that, you know, he has ordained.
Yeah.
You know, but nowadays, you know, Pastor C, we don't reverence things of God. You know, we don't reverence marriages. We don't reverence, you know, keeping ourselves pure and clean until we get married. We don't do that. We just live any kind of way, do what we want to do. You know, and just feel like it's my life, I'm going to do what I want to do, and you know what, we'll just bypass the word of God for right now. When Sunday comes, it will be fine, you know, but for this moment right here, I'm going to just put Jesus on hold.
Yeah.
And going out and live this little sinful, lustful act of, you know, compassion,
and that's what it boils down to.
It's become the majority,
because you see it everywhere. Yeah,
you know, you see it everywhere. You see it from our leaders, our pastors, our preachers. You see it everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, there's no differentiation, and I hate to say this, there's no differentiation between what goes on in the church and what goes on in the world.
In Hollywood.
Yeah. There's no differentiation. I mean, people in the church, some of them are living the same lifestyle.
Yeah, exactly.
People in Hollywood are living.
Exactly.
You know, been married 2, 3, 4 times, and had 4, 5, 6 girlfriends in the church, and you know, all of these different things. And you know, and that's just,
that's become the norm.
It's become the norm, and we've become tolerant of it.
And so,
back to what we're thinking about is that if it doesn't go my way, then I can go and I can find something better.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you hear that movie or that play, I can do bad all by myself.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, what I'm thinking about, you know, when I'm thinking about getting divorced is I'm doing bad. I don't need to be in this relationship. I can do bad by myself.
That's right.
I don't need to be in this relationship anymore. I don't need to struggle. I don't need to try to make it work. I'm going to do bad by myself. Or even more prominent is I'm tired of this. I'm ready to move on to somebody else. And what happens is, you know, because you haven't dealt with what was going on in this first relationship, now you're going to go get into another relationship and you're going to continue that cycle of wanting it your way, picking up the wrong piece to the puzzle, like you said earlier, getting involved with the wrong person because you're not dealing with what needs to be dealt with in the existing relationship. So you're going to end up getting divorced from another one, from another one, from another one.
And it's just so easy to do it. It's just like this. Like I was just reading the other day, Tom Cruise got divorced again.
Tomcat.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And it's crazy. This is like his third marriage.
I don't know.
I mean, but
and how many kids?
And how many kids? You know, and so you've destroyed another family, another set of kids. You know, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
But it's acceptable.
It's totally acceptable because of who we are. Or what we do, or what our name is, or, you know, or whatever. And, you know, and like you say, God is completely out of the picture. He's completely out of the picture. You know, we don't have any concept or any idea of, you know, who God is, you know, what God holds us accountable for in any of those things. Any of those things. So we just live life and feel like we're not going to have any repercussions for our actions, that we can be with whoever we want to be with, you know, mess around with whoever we want to mess around with.
And then say next,
line them up.
Next in line. Yeah, and know I can, and you know, that's what they do. They know I can go to next.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And there's somebody to say something.
Yeah.
You know,
I can go next.
I can go next. You know, and so there's no accountability. There's no nothing to anybody anymore. You know, we've lost all reverence to God. We've lost all reverence to His word, to His commandments, to His covenant. When it comes to marriage, when it just comes to relationships in general, when it comes to His word, we just don't do it. We just do whatever we want to do because we have become so engulfed in ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and our selfishness,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we can't even be a decent role model for somebody else.
Don't even think about the kids.
Don't even think about the kids. Don't even think about how is your life
going to affect
somebody else. Here you up here standing up in church and your stomach swollen. And everybody know you ain't married, but you still singing. What the kids gonna think?
That's okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I can do it.
Exactly. They like, oh, she can do it.
I can do it.
Wait till I get old enough. I'm gonna do the same thing. You know, and it just becomes, Pastor C, a repeated circle. It's just over and over and over again. And we have yet to break those strongholds.
And people, like you said, people will break bad with you.
Yeah. Don't say nothing. Don't.
You can't judge me. You've already judged yourself.
You've already judged yourself. The verdict is already in. The verdict's already in. You know, you already made the verdict for yourself.
You judge yourself.
You judge yourself. Your actions have already dictated your reputation. You know, and so we, you know, like you say, we've got to get to the point where we really look at marriage and divorce and keep it in perspective. You know, to me, divorce is just a cop-out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a way just to say, you know what, I'm really not committed to this relationship. You know, I'm going to just, you know.
Somebody did the unforgivable.
Somebody did the unforgivable.
But forget about my unforgivable.
But forget about your unforgivable. Because their unforgivable trumps your
unforgivable.
You got the little, I got the little spade, but you got the big spade.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
So yours is greater than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you're more so at fault than I am. You know, and that's how we do. You know, we're trying to make ourselves look minimal.
And when they come, and Doc, the last 15 minutes, when they come to me, when they didn't have any premarital counseling,
correct.
They didn't do it God's way,
correct.
Then we are the ones that are left to pick up the pieces.
Pick up the pieces.
Now we got to spend hours and years
trying to
doing marital counseling because they did
premarital.
I'm gonna say that again.
Yeah.
Now the preacher and the counselor
right
got to spend hours and years
yep
doing marital counseling because folks refuse to go to premarital counseling.
Premarital counseling, and that's you said it right. Premarital counseling, because you weren't prepared for the marriage, and now that you got in the marriage, now you got to go back and get what you should have got before you put the ring.
You know, the countless number of folks you have to sit down with and just go through
the basics,
and it's so much more difficult now,
right?
Because now
they're mad at each other.
The kids involved, the family involved, there's money involved.
And it's much more at stake now. The stakes become higher, you know. And like I say, you know, if you have been prepared and these things had come out prior to you getting married, then maybe we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And now what I end up doing is spending more time.
What time?
More than 16 weeks, like I said, hours and years.
Years.
Instead of the 16 months.
Right.
16 weeks.
16 weeks.
That we would have did premarital.
Right. Yeah. And that's the issue. You know, if you do it the right way, the odds are the marriage will end up being a success. Let me rephrase that. If you do it God's way, if you let Him put you together and let Him join you with who He wants you to be with, you know, then the marriage is going to be successful. But the thing is, a lot of times we have a preconceived notion as to who we want to be with.
What we're thinking of before the birth.
That's right. Who's it going to be? What's she going to look like? Da-da-da-da-da. You know. Sometimes,
but I've seen in the magazine.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the wrapping on the package may not always be according to your liking.
Mm.
But when you unwrap the package, then you really find out this is the person you need to be with all along. And, you know, once we're able to get past the wrapping on the package, you know, the exterior,
mm-hmm.
and learn to really love the interior. Gotta love the interior.
Now you're talking.
You know, that's where the good stuff is on the inside.
Yeah, you tell me.
You know, I say if you peel the orange, nobody eats the outside of the orange. You eat the inside. Yeah. You know, that's where the nutrients is. That's where the good stuff is. You get so caught up on the external that you really can't learn to appreciate people for who they really are.
Wow.
You know, and until we're able to come to the grips of learning to love people, not out of infatuation, but learning to love their spirits, learning to love their personality, learning to love all of their characteristics, learning to accept their flaws,
yeah.
you know, that they have to offer
yeah.
as well. You yeah. know, because, I mean,
we got them,
everybody has them, mm-hmm. you know, but you still have to be able to work together as a team,
mm-hmm.
you know. And some of the most unlikeliest couples, the people that you thought would never, ever
mm-hmm.
have the most successful relationships and successful marriages. You know, so we really have to, you know, really, really think about, you know, making sure that God is in the picture when we, you know, and make sure that we're ready. You got to be ready.
Absolutely.
You got to be emotionally ready. You got to be financially ready. You got to be stable. You know, you got to be all of those things, you know, and it takes a while to get there. But, you know, you will know when you're ready. You'll know when you're ready, when you're ready.
A great show, Rim.
Yeah, we already down to the last flying brother.
And I
need to see marriage as a resource and community. Let people know that, you know, you are a resource by your example and the things that you do. So one of the things is getting married and living like a proper married couple.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Lord blesses you. You get your children involved. And, you know, if you had more and more of that in the community, just think about that. You had more and more people thinking about what their marriage should be in the community, I believe that we would have a more well off community. I believe that children will be more well off. I believe that households will be more well off. I believe that our neighborhoods and just the way we get along, if we had people that would get married and have covenant relationships with marriage, would benefit us greatly as a society. And that's what we're here at today. We're trying to see people, let people know that you know, you can look around and you can see the resources that are available all over, you know, God's earth. You know, He has put resources everywhere, and we can see His handiwork, and that we are a part of that, and that we need to make sure we're not just looking at ourselves and what's good for me, but how am I going to affect everyone else? Sort of that love your neighbor as yourself mantra that was a part of the Ten Commandments. And it's so true that, you know, we all have something to give, but we have to be willing to give it, and we have to be willing to give it unselfishly. And that's what marriage is all about. That's what being in a relationship is all about. That's what being in your community is all about, for the wellness of your community, is unselfishly, you know, giving of yourself and setting an example for someone else. All right. Okay. So we really, really want to do that. We want to just make sure that, you know, we're constantly thinking about how we are going to affect our community, how we're going to affect each other, and by doing it that way, we are being benefactors as well as people that are contributing to the wellness of the community. So we got to revisit this again. It's always a hot topic when you talk about relationships, specific types of relationships. It's always a hot topic, and, you know, it should be, because, you know, relationships are what makes us up.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we flow. It's how we're developing. It's how we get to get along with each other. So, you know, we want to just continue to throw those types of things out. We just want to continue to you know, prompt people. And we got a guest in the studio tonight. We got Big Brother Brandon. What's up, Big Brother Brandon?
What's going on?
Hello to the folk out there.
Hello, everybody. Hope y'all staying cool out there.
we were talking about marriage tonight, and we were talking about the things that people think about prior to getting married, and the things that people think about when they're getting ready to get divorced. And we ask you off the cuff. What
do you think? Wow, hit him with a jam.
What do you think about, or what people should think about prior to getting married?
Well, I'm not married, so I'm only really guessing on this one, but I mean, the main thing I think you have to examine,
if you were going to get married, what you would think about prior to getting married?
If I was going to get married, the first thing I would have to do is look in the mirror and take a look at myself, be real with myself, one, to make sure that, you know, I'm comfortable, I have my things together, because I think there are a lot of key factors that play into, you know, getting married. You know, obviously you have to be ready, you have to be sure that the person you're ready to spend the rest of your life with is the one.
Say that word again.
spend the rest of your life with. You know, it's not, no, well, if it don't work out, I'm gonna get divorced and everything else. You know, I know old school, my parents said that, you know, when you guys, you know, when they have problems and every marriage is gonna have its up and down, you work it out. But nowadays, you know, a lot of people are, you know, oh, it's not for me, or I got married too young, so I'm gonna just go ahead and get a divorce.
Yeah,
you
know,
unacceptable to me. You're gonna have your ups and downs, but you work it out. Secondly, make sure, you know, you do the counseling thing. I mean, you know, definitely do it, because you'll find out a lot about yourself and also your partner.
Yeah.
And then, you know, one thing I wouldn't, you know, advocate for, and I hear a lot of people doing it, about, you know, we'll shack up for a while before you get married and try it out and things like that. But I wouldn't condone doing that. I've had a couple of friends who've tried that, and, you know, they've ended up starting a small family, little army. So
I would suggest
that you not take that route. And that's about it. And then pray. Definitely pray about it. You know, definitely pray on it. And then those are really, I think, the starting things for your foundation. But, you know, first, definitely want to take a look at yourself, because it starts with you. And then, you know, obviously, you know, seek God, and then also definitely do the counseling.
Yeah. Red B, you want to close us out?
Yes, sir. We want to just thank everybody for listening in tonight. It's been a great, great show. And this is definitely a subject that we're going to have to revisit again. Pastor C, I tell you, you know, we get these hot topics, relationships, marriage and divorce, and,
ooh,
you know, those are just hot topics. But I tell you, it is one of our greatest resources. The family is, and we know
that
marriage is a key component of that family. And so, but like I said, we did want to thank everybody for listening in tonight.
I think that's our first visitor we had.
Yeah, Brother Brandon swung on by and visited us. Thank Dr. Evans for calling in, and Sister Tracy for calling in, and thank them for all of their comments. Just doing a great job and blessing us. And of course, we just thank all of our listeners who continue to support us here at Pastor Dave CDC. And don't forget that once we go off the air at 9, that approximately about 9:20, you'll be able to go back in and listen to tonight's show in its entirety. So just log back into blogtalkradio.com/Pastor's Aid, and you'll be able to hear tonight's episode, and you'll be able to go back and listen to all of the archive shows as well. And truly, we just want to thank everybody
for
continuing to support us here. And
great.
I tell you, the archive listeners, we just thank y'all for just going back and listening to us during the week. Even if you're not able to listen live or call in or whatever, we just thank you for when you find that time just to go back and listen to us. And I tell you, it has been a blessing. You know, last week's show, we had almost 200 archive listeners.
Right,
I'm sure it probably will be over 200 in the next day or two. But
and
the other archive shows are the numbers are increasing every week. So we just thank God for that. And most importantly, we realize that we could not do it without you all. You all have truly been a blessing to us here at Pastor's Aid CDC. And don't forget, even if you have some downtime during the week, hit us up on Facebook, you know, Pastor's Aid at Facebook, and also hit us up on Twitter, PHDC316. You can hit us up on that as well. And don't forget, this upcoming Sunday, you can join us again here at Pastor's Aid Community Development Corporation at 7 p.m. So don't forget, we'll be here this Sunday as well. And don't forget, we do have a couple of events that will be coming up. We got the July. Oh, time is rolling. July. This will be our third.
Right.
This will be our third away. So we definitely want to do that. That will be coming up on July 21st. Heart of God.
Right.
We're going to start back up at 11 a.m. And like I said, we got so many other things going on for the next month. We're going to be getting out to the community center.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll also be getting out to the nursing homes as well.
That's right.
And we're going to try to do some live broadcasts from those locations as well. So we're going to definitely try to be out on location to be a blessing to the community. And like I say, we're just here to keep the ship rolling and,
most importantly,
connect the community with all of these resources. Pastor, so you need to say anything before we log on out of here?
Now that you have the resource, we need to get connected.
God bless.
Good night. Good night. Stop. on Sunday.